for the job he's doing. All right, if you take out your notes, if you did not get those, you got them back there with you. Brian, hold your hand up high, and we'll get those to you tonight. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. We are continuing our study on the life of Joseph. Genesis, chapter 41. We'll talk about reaping the rewards of righteousness. Again, keep your hand up high if you did not get one. He's passing those out. Genesis chapter 41. There is a belief among many churches today, the Old Testament is no longer for today, that the church, the body of Christ today, should focus on the New Testament. The Old Testament is out of date. It's no longer necessary for today. But some of the greatest messages in all the Bible are from the Old Testament. Do you have Genesis 41? If you do, hold your finger there. Go with me to the New Testament, to the book of Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. I want you to see, even the Apostle Paul believed the Old Testament was profitable for today. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Look with me in verse 4, please. Romans 15, verse 4. Here's a verse that specifically applies, speaks of the Old Testament, the things written aforetime, he says here. Romans 15 and verse 4. Here the Apostle Paul says, and whatsoever things were written when? Aforetime. Were written for our learning. He's talking about the Old Testament. Were written for our learning that we, through the patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. In other words, in the Old Testament, there's many great truths that gives us hope for the child of God this morning, this evening, excuse me. But notice here, he said, whatsoever written aforetime is written for our learning. So what can we learn from the life of Joseph? Let's go back there, please. In Genesis chapter 41, please. I'd like to, tonight we're going to look at the reaping of rewards of righteousness. Someone once said this. It's hard to do what's right when everybody else is doing wrong. And how true that is, it's hard to stand alone. But in Joseph's life, let me put it this way, it's hard to do right or keep doing right when everything else is going wrong. Many times Christians, in the process of doing what's right and living for the Lord, and everything around them seems to be falling apart or going wrong, it's hard to keep doing that which is right. Yet Joseph kept doing what's right no matter what circumstances came his way. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you what? Faint not. What a testimony for Joseph. Joseph went through 13 years of nothing but problems, but he never gave up. He never did wrong. He kept doing what's right. As far as I know, there's very few people in the Bible has nothing negative to say about them. And one of them was Joseph. You'll find nothing critical or negative said about Joseph. And yet, hardly anybody's went through what he went through in life. So first of all, let's look a little brief backwards. Let's look at, again, remind us what he went through in life. Do you have chapter 41? Back up to chapter 37, please. Again, a quick review of what he went through in life, because we're going to show you how God rewarded him, even though he went through so much difficulty in life, because he remained faithful to God. In Genesis chapter 37, please, Genesis 37, a brief look backwards, we're going to see the afflictions he went through. Before we do that, let's bow together for prayer. Father in heaven, the Apostle Paul said the things were written aforetime, referring to the Old Testament. It was written for our learning. And there's great truths, principles that we can learn from the life of Joseph that happened many years ago in the Old Testament. But, Father, there's truths there for us to learn and to live by today. We thank you for his testimony. We thank you for all that he went through. He kept doing that which is right, though everything around him was going wrong. So, Father, help us to be like Joseph and learn from the principles of his life. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So if you look at your notes, first of all, Joseph's brothers. How would you like to have brothers like Joseph had? Joseph's brothers, first of all, we're going to see in chapter 37, look in verse 3, number 1, to put out, they hated Joseph. They hated Joseph. Chapter 37, look with me in verse 3. Now Israel, That's Joseph's dad. Israel loved Joseph more than all the, his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. That shows favoritism. In other words, he showed favoritism to Joseph above all his other brothers. And it says in verse 4, and when the brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they what? They hated him. And it goes on to say, hate him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet what? The more. So from the brother's perspective, not only did our father favor him, but God favored him. Because dreams were messages from God. God, they didn't have the Old Testament back then. The Old Testament was not written till much later. So basically it says here that the father favored him, and now God spoke to Joseph in a dream, and God showed favor to him. And then it says in verse 8, and they said unto him, hear, I pray you, the dream that I have dreamed. And verse 7, and behold, they were binding sheaves in a field, and my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance unto my sheaf. And it goes on to say in verse 8, and the brethren said unto him, shall we indeed reign over us? And shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the what? In other words, the hatred of him kept increasing, getting worse. So he began with, number one, his brothers hated him. Number two, they were jealous of Joseph. They were jealous of what he experienced from his parents, from his father, and also from God. Look with me, please, in verse 11. In verse 11, and his brother envied him, he was jealous of him, but the father observed their saying. So the brothers, number one, hated him. Number two, they were jealous of Joseph. Number three, they wanted to kill Joseph. It went from hatred to jealousy, and now they desired to take his life. Look with me in verse 18, please. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, and before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to what? To slay him. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. So they desired to take his life. Number four, then they decided not to take his life. They sold him as a slave. They sold him as a slave. So Joseph's brother, number one, they hated Joseph. Number two, they were jealous of Joseph. Number three, they wanted to kill Joseph. And number four, they sold him as a slave. Look in verse 24, please. In fact, verse 23, it came to pass as Joseph was come to his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, verse 24, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Verse 26, and Joseph said to his brethren, what profit is it that we slay our brother? Let us conceal his blood. Come, and said verse 27, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. So basically, they begin to think, you know, we could take his life if they desired to, but there's no profit in it for us. Let's sell him to slavery. Let's sell him as a slave. So they decide because they could profit from that. So now, letter A, Joseph's brothers, they hated him, they were jealous of him, they wanted to kill him, and they sold him to slavery. Letter B, again, we're talking about the affliction with, letter B, the Egyptian slavery. Number one, write it down, he was sold to the Ishmaelites. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. Look in verse 28. And there passed the Midianites, the merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to Ishmaelites. So he was sold as a slave to these passing merchantmen going down to Egypt. Number one, sold to Ishmaelites. And number two, there was taken to Egypt. Look in verse 28, the latter part of verse B. It says, it's sold to Ishmaelites and 20 pieces of silver and brought Joseph into Egypt, removed him from his home. So sold him as a slave, Ishmaelites, taken now to Egypt. And number three, sold him to Potiphar. Sold him to Potiphar. Look in verse 36, please. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Now, go with me now to chapter 39, please. Chapter 39 takes up where 37 leaves off. It says, verse 1 of chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So basically, letter B, the Egyptian slavery, he was sold to the Ishmaelites, he was taken to Egypt and sold to Potiphar. Letter C, it only gets worse. Now, Potiphar had a wife, so Mrs. Potiphar's accusation. Remember the story? The Bible says that while he was, God blessed him under Potiphar, and Potiphar made him the steward of all his possessions and manager of all his belongings. He was working in the house, and it said Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon him and tried to seduce him and made passes toward him. And he kept ignoring them, said, how can I do something so wicked against the Lord? And kept doing that day by day, made advances toward him. And then eventually, we know the story was that he was in there alone, the way she physically grabbed him and tried to say, come and lie with me. And of course, he says he got away and ran, and she pulled his coat off his body as he ran away. And I want you to notice Potiphar's wife falsely accused him to others. Basically, she accused him of what she was trying to do. Look with me in chapter 39 and verse 11, please. Chapter 39, verse 11. And it came to pass about this time, Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. And she called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto to us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me. So basically, she accused him for what she was trying to do and falsely accused him. He tried to attack me. He tried to physically attack me. So it was a false accusation. By the way, have you been falsely accused? Accused to do something you did not do? You know, nothing probably can stir up anger in a person quicker than that. I can remember way back to third grade. There was a couple of boys. I didn't forget this because I was falsely accused. And there was a young boy in there who was a troublemaker, always getting in trouble. And during the break, when the teacher went out of the class, he went up and stole something off the teacher's desk. Teacher come back and notice it missing. And she said, who took this from my desk? And he jumped and pointed his finger at me and said, David took it. Boy, did I get mad. And boy, falsely accused. And of course, she knew my character. She knew his character. And she just kind of dropped it and realized that he's the one who took it. But I tell you, I even today, I remember how angry I got. Because right in the class said, David took it. And I wanted to get up and go outside and tangle him, you know. But he falsely accused me. And by the way, Joseph was falsely accused to the others in the room, but also falsely accused him to her husband. Look in verse, you would please, in verse 16. And she held up the garment by her and held his Lord, came home until the Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to the word, saying, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me and to mock me, basically to try to seduce me. So he went through so much. And now false accusement. By the way, he didn't stop there. Remember Potiphar, because he took his wife's word for it and put him in prison. And while in prison, God blessed him even more so. Did you notice all through this time, Joseph kept doing that which is right? Though he was hated and jealousy and sought to be killed and sold to slavery by his brothers, while he went to Potiphar's house, there he did that which is right. God blessed him, and Potiphar made him an overseer of all his possessions. And there his wife falsely accused him. And because of that, he was put in prison. While he was in prison, Remember, the prison guard saw his character and made him the steward of all the other prisoners. And while he was there, remember, two prisoners, the baker and a butler, had a dream. Remember that? And, of course, he interpreted the dream. And, of course, the baker was beheaded, and the butler was allowed to go back and serve the Pharaoh. But you remember the last thing he said to the butler? He said, when you go back unto Pharaoh, please tell them, remember me, and tell the Pharaoh that I've been falsely accused and here wrongfully so. And what happened? He forgot. He forgot. And that's letter D, forgotten in the dungeon. Number one, Joseph asked to be remembered. It says, chapter 40, verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto the Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. And for 2 years, Joseph was waiting to maybe hear from that, and the butler forgot. Have you been forgotten before? You know, interesting. My wife and I, we take turns. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we pick up little Nova from school at 12:30. And I have found it's very important for my wife, at least, for us to be on time. And I'm going up this to make sure you're on time. We don't want to be late. And the reason why is because in my wife's past, many times she had an appointment to do something with her dad, for dad to come by and pick her up or to spend time with her dad, and her dad forgot. And she'd wait and wait, and he would never show up. And it makes you feel valueless, makes you feel not important. So now it's very important for either myself or my wife, when it's time for Nova to get out of class, that we're there waiting on her because we want her to feel like she has value, important. Joseph was waiting for 2 years. He was forgotten. He felt like he had no value, little worth, and just left in that dungeon. So basically, number one, Joseph is asked to remember. Number two, in letter D, the butler forgets. The butler forgets. It said, verse 23, yet did not the butler remember Joseph. So basically, we're looking in the past, the life that Joseph went through. Remember, his brothers hated him, jealous of him, wanted to kill him, sold him to slavery. The Egyptian slavery, he was sold by the Ishmaelites. He was taken to Egypt, sold to Potiphar. While in Potiphar's house, he was falsely accused to the other men of the house and also falsely accused of Potiphar. Then he was put in prison. While he was in prison, he was not remembered. He was forgotten. But all through this, remember last week we talked about this occurred for 13 years. Over and over again, things kept going wrong, though he did that which is right. So number two, well, now a man restored the rewards. Remember, the title of this is Reaping Rewards of Righteousness. The verse in Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing. For it says, you shall reap if you faint not. And that's a characteristic of Joseph. He was not weary, though he kept doing that was right, and things kept going wrong. He kept doing that was right, and in due season he shall reap if he faints not. And now we get to see the reaping of righteousness. Now go to chapter 41, please. Chapter 41 and verse 41. Now he's restored. We're going to see the rewards of his righteousness. Letter A. A position of great authority. Notice in chapter 41 and verse 41, please. It says in verse 41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Remember, prior to this, we talked about last week, remember, Pharaoh had a dream, and none of his magicians could interpret the dream. And all of a sudden, the butler remembers, oh, and I believe he thought of himself for doing so. Maybe I can get some gain out of this. That while I was in prison, I had a dream. There was a man there interpreted the dream. And 2 years later, now they get Joseph out of prison, and he comes and interprets the dream of the Pharaoh. And then he said, after he interpreted the dream, there's going to be 7 years of great feast and 7 years of great famine. And he said, I encourage you, Pharaoh, to take a man in charge to oversee this and take care of that, to store up all the food during the feast. And when you have the famine comes, you can have plenty of food. And the Pharaoh says, Joseph, you're the man. I'm going to put you in that position. And number one, he said, position of great authority. Number one, put down there, given unlimited territory authority. He was given unlimited territorial authority. In verse 41, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. Wow. He was given unlimited territory. Number two, he was given a blank check of financial authority. He was given a blank check of financial authority. It says in verse 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. Now, the ring was a signet ring of the Pharaoh's authority. Of all the things put in writing, all the business he had to do, he had the authority of the Pharaoh. And he could put that on the clay, on the, any of those documents, showing he had authority to spend whatever he wanted to spend. So he was given unlimited territorial authority. Two, given a blank check of financial authority. Number three, he was given a whole new wardrobe. A whole new wardrobe. Look in the latter part of verse 42. And after he took his ring and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. So now he gets a whole new wardrobe. Number four. I like this one. He's given his own company vehicle. He's given his own company vehicle. Look in verse 43, please. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. So now he gets his own vehicle. Back then, he didn't have cars. They had chariots. And so now he has that. Number five, he's given great homage and respect. He's given great homage and respect. In the latter part of verse 43, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And all he, as he traveled through the town, the area, in his chariot, everybody had to bow and show homage to him. My friend, did God reward his righteousness? Yes, he did. Number six, he was given authority over all. He's given authority over all. Look in verse 44. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I, Pharaoh, without thee shall no man lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Nobody could do anything without Joseph's permission. Now think about this. If Joseph would have given in to Potiphar's wife, if Joseph had been discouraged and said, I'm tired of doing what's right, what's the benefit of doing right? Every time I do right, things go wrong. He said, I'm tired of this and start doing wrong. I don't think we'd ever heard of Joseph in the Bible. He had never been exalted this place in Egypt because he kept doing what's right. No matter how bad things got, God finally rewarded him that he did reap in due season because he fainted not. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in the job. And you are doing what's right. Everybody around you seems to be doing wrong. And you're doing right. Everything around you seems to be going wrong. Keep doing right. It is always right to do right. It's always right. Excuse me. It's never right to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong to do right. Always do right. Can you remember that? It's always right to do right. So keep doing it. And you may not see any benefits or rewards for it for a while, but the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Letter B. Now we'll go look at, we saw letter A, position of great authority. Letter B, promotion to a high social status. Now, promotion to a high social status. In verse 45, number one, he was given a new name. He was given a new name. It says in verse 45, the Pharaoh called Joseph's name, and there it says, Zaphnath-Paneneth, if I say that correctly. A $50 word there. But basically, that word means the God speaks and lives. The God speaks and lives. No doubt he was thinking about Joseph's God, Now, Pharaoh had not forsaken his gods to worship the one true God. But this was acknowledgement of Joseph's God. Because remember, he told Pharaoh, he says, I can't interpret the dream, but God can. So he gave him a name, which means the God speaks and lives. So he's given a name. Number two, he's given a new wife. He's given a new wife. It said in the latter part of verse 45, and gave him a wife of Asenath, the daughter of Potiphareth, the priest of On. That was the high priest at that time. The priests were the highest and most privileged class in Egypt. Intermarriage with this group at once exalted him to great social position, where people brought great respect to him. So a promotion to high social status, given a new name. Number two, given a new wife. Number three, he's given two sons. God blessed him with two sons. Look at you, please, in verse 50. In verse 50, and Joseph, unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine, which it says, Asenath, a daughter of Potiphareth, says, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has said, he hath made me forget all my toil at my father's house, and the name of the second Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful. So basically, Manasseh means to cause to forget, and Ephraim means a cause to be fruitful. So he names them after what God has done in his life. All that he went through, he called, God says, God caused me to forget, not necessarily to put out of my mind, but not to allow that to affect me anymore. And then goes on to say, Ephraim means the cause to be fruitful. And letter C, the latter part of this point, is now we have a youth with a bright future. We have a youth with a bright future. Verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Number three, we're just about done. Number three. Now notice the dreams fulfilled. These were the dreams that Pharaoh had that Joseph had interpreted. Number three, the blessing. Letter A, 7 years of plenty. Just like the dream had, and God, he interpreted, there were 7 years of feast. There was plenty during 7 years. Then it says, in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth handfuls. But after the 7 years of plenty, letter B, there were 7 years of famine. It said, verse 53, and the 7 years of the plenteous that was in the land were ended, and 7 years of dearth began to come, according to, as Joseph has said, the dearth was in all the lands, and all the land of Egypt, there was bread. So basically, this famine not only covered Egypt, but all the land round about it. And let her see, there's enough food for everyone. There's enough food for all. Number one, all of Egypt. Remember, the 7 years he stored up food for the 7 years of famine. In verse 56, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. So the people had nothing to eat. So they went now to Joseph. In fact, they went to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says, you go to Joseph and do what he says. And Joseph sold it. So not only did he provide for the people, it made Egypt that much more prosperous. But also, all the lands around Egypt also affected. It says in verse 57, it says, and all the countries came to Egypt to Joseph to buy corn because the famine was sore in all the lands. And by the way, guess who that brought down to Egypt? Joseph's family and his brothers. We're going to get to that. So basically, the father now sends his sons down to Egypt because they get food from there, not knowing that Joseph was there. So, lessons to learn. What can we learn? Remember, Paul said, for whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our what? Learning. Real quickly, write this down. Lesson learned. Number one, put down, lengthy afflictions need not discourage us. Lengthy afflictions need not to discourage us. Remember, Joseph went through 13 years of affliction before he was exalted to the second person in Egypt. Someone said this, the testing comes before the what? The blessing. The testing comes before the blessing. So many of us want the blessing, but we don't want the testing that brings it about. Joseph understood that. The testing comes before the blessing. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You may be going through that nighttime now with weeping in your heart and your family. My friend, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Number two, the second lesson to learn, not only does lengthy afflictions need not discourage us. Number two, bad memories need not defeat us. Bad memories need not defeat us. Because remember, when he named one of his sons that he was able to forget all that it was the affliction he went through. The Apostle Paul said this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. So bad memories need not defeat us. And number three, great blessings need not disqualify us. Great blessings need not disqualify us. If you would turn to me to Proverbs chapter 30, when you find that, look up here, and we'll close with this verse. Lessons to learn, lengthy afflictions need not discourage us. Bad memories need not defeat us, and great blessings need not disqualify us. Proverbs chapter 30. Have you ever seen in life, God does seem to bless more, some people more than others? Some Christians are very wealthy because God blessed them with that. Some Christians are not because he chose not to. I believe the reason he does not choose to bless many of us with much money because we couldn't handle it. Well, if sometimes a pastor, if God would give me $1 million, I would tithe it. If he gives you $100, would you tithe that? The Bible said, he that is faithful over little shall be faithful over what? Much. But he that is unjust over the little is also unjust over the much. If God said, if I can't trust you with the little I give you, why should I give you more? But if God chooses to give you much, it need not disqualify us. Before we read our verse in Proverbs, listen to this verse. Psalm 52, verse 7. It says, lo, this man hath made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. So many times God does bless people with money, but they turn to their money for the trust and confidence rather than God. Psalm 62, verse 10. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So many Christians, the reason God don't bless you with much money, because you would turn to them to trust in, but also you'll set your affection upon them. But now look in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Here's a prayer. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor what? Riches. So many times, I'm sure most of us, we pray, Lord, don't make me poor. But many of us say, Lord, make me rich. So this man says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Why? He goes on to say, feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, give me just what I need. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. God's promised to meet our needs. But if God, for some reason, does bless you with much, great blessings need not disqualify you. If you use it for his honor and glory, if you do not set your affection upon it nor trust in it, God blesses some people with much money. But how can I show God he can trust me? With much, be faithful in the little. How can God trust me with much? Be faithful in the little he's blessed you with. Let's bow together, please. We began our message from the admonition of the Apostle Paul, saying that what was written aforetime was written for our learning. That includes the life of Joseph. And what can we learn from Joseph tonight? We saw a man who went through great affliction, And though he did nothing to deserve it, through it all, he remained faithful to God. He kept doing that which is right. And he kept doing that which is right. Thing kept going wrong. For 13 years, he did that which is right. And things seemed to keep going wrong. Yet God did bless him. As the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for if you shall reap, if you faint not, keep doing that which is right. So Christian, what is your life going through tonight? What hurt or pain are you experiencing, though you have determined to do that which is right? I encourage you, don't quit. Keep being faithful to God. And you shall reap if you faint not, the Bible says. God will one day recognize and reward you accordingly. It may be in this life. It may not be until life in heaven. But God will reward those who do that which is right. Father, I pray now for the brethren here. No doubt, in a group this size, some people are hurting. Some people have been purposing to do that which is right, and things keep going wrong for them. Lord, help them to be not weary in well-doing. Help them not to faint, and they shall see your blessings one day in their life. Father, help us to purpose to always do what's right, no matter what life brings our way, and learn from Joseph as a man who did that and eventually was blessed of you in a great way. For us, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We want to close with